Okay, the opening Mishnah begins, Hayisha Niknes B'Shalosh Drachim, describing the process of Erusin. As a result of this Kinyan of Ishus, the first stage of marriage, the woman now is an Arusa. But clearly this is only stage one. Stage two of Ishus is considered to be Nisuin. And the Mishnah points out, the very beginning of Maseches Ksuvos, that in earlier times there was a significant lapse between Erusin as opposed to Nisuin. The Mishnah even describes what happens if he gia hazman v'lo niseis. A year passes, the Baal is dragging his feet, and he's not continuing with the second step, which is considered to be nisuin. So very, very simply, what exactly, conceptually and practically speaking, is erusin as opposed to nisuin, and what are the differences between them? So our Mishnah simply addresses step one, erusin. After erusin, no doubt the woman is considered to be an eishes ish. Rachmana litzlan, if there would be an act of znus, she is an eishes ish, she's insa, she will be chayev es misa, the boa will be chayev misa, she certainly is considered to be an eishes ish. What exactly is lacking? If ishes is created ayadei erusin, she's an eishes ish, but yet she still remains beveis aviha. So, an eishes ish, beveis aviha, that is considered to be erusin. And what in terms of lamdus, the hagdara conceptually is nisuin? Now step two, she's an eishes ish, who is no longer bebeis aviha, but now she is considered to be bebeis habal. How does she become an eishes ish? Clearly, keser shtarobia. How does she reach step two, that now she is bebeis habal? We're going to see five shittas in Rishonim. Very unclear. At what point do you become an eishes ish, who is considered to be bebeis habal? But where indeed do you see that this Hagdara, this definition, is true? So I'll tell you, I think the starting point is simply a Parsha in Chumash, the Parsha of Hafaras Nedarim, right? Bemidbar, Parshas Matos, Perek Lamed. There the Torah tells us that there is a series of dinim when it comes to Hafaras Nedarim. There is a schus that an Av has of Hafaras Nedarim. And then there is a stage where Hafaras Nedarim is a joint effort, a shutfis, between the Av and the Baal. And then there is a final step where the Schus Hafara is purely that of the Baal. Where indeed do you see that this is true? So you simply look at the Psukim. So in Pasuk Dalet, Perek Lamed Pasuk Dalet, the Torah tells us the following. You have a single girl who is Beveis Aviha Binureha. A single girl who is a Nara who is a Pnuya. And the Torah says that, yes, there is a schus hafara. That schus hafara is exclusively that of the Av. Oh, and that's where the Torah tells us, the stunning pasuk Vav. And what happens if she makes a neder, and the Av was made for the neder, but she was unaware that there was hafara, and she went ahead and violated the neder? That is the pasuk of Vashem Yislachla. Vashem Yislachla. Schus hafara, the neder is paka, but you know, there could be a chiyuv. When you look in Pasuk Zayin, the Torah has now a different step of Hafara, and that is a married woman. Im hayos hiyalish. And here the Torah describes Hafara as being a joint effort of that of the Baal and that of the father. Interestingly, there in Perek Lamed Pasuk Tes, the Torah repeats the similar scenario of Hashem Yislachla. Hashem Yislachla. Then the Torah continues, right? In Pasuk Yer Aleph, in Beis Ishanadara, step three, Beis Ishanadara. Now that Schus Hafar is exclusively that of the Baal. Interesting, the Pasuk repeats again, Pasuk Yer Gimel, Hashem Yislachla. That phrase, Hashem Yislachla, found three times in the Pasuk. In Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Yer Gimel. You know, it's important, that's the famous Nudrash regarding Rabbi Akiva, Nazir Chav Gimel, Kedushin Pei Aleph, that Ki Havi Mati Rabbi Akiva Vai Psukah Havi Baki. When Rabbi Akiva got to that pasuk, he would start crying. No? Because the neder was paka. It was already subject to hafara. But there was an attempt. You know what we call that? Machshava Sachet. And the Torah tells us, Vashem Yislachla. Mechila is necessary even for Machshava Sachet. Machshava Sachet. So Rabbi Akiva would cry, because after all, imagine if a person attempts, and Rachman al-Islam, he succeeds in committing an Aveira. How much more so? Here an attempt, but at the end of the day, the neder indeed was paka. If you look there in the Pirush HaRash, this you do on your own, no? Interesting that Hashem Yisrachla three times in the pasuk, right? Vav Tes Nigimel. Interesting, the Gemara is Doresh Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel. That's interesting, no? Only the third time, the third time. Think about that, now. Take a look at the Pirush HaRash. Why would we only be Doresh the third time, the third time? Why is that true? How do you know it's the third time? Because the Gemara quotes more of the Pasuk, no? Yisha HaFeiram V'Hashem Yisrachla. Machshava Sachet. But I understand the first case. The first case is a single girl who's a Nara, and the Schus Safari is that of the Av. How do I know step two and step three? How do I know that, you know what, there's a joint Shutfis? And then there's an exclusive. So it must be that the Torah is describing different stages of Ishus. There's the Pnuya, okay, that's true. And then there's stage one of Ishus. And then there's stage two of Ishus. After stage one of Ishus, Hafar is a shutfis. After stage two of Ishus, then Hafar is exclusively that of the Baal. Well, where do you see that that's true? There's a step one and there's a step two. So this, I think, is very, very critical. Now, the Torah describes the Ishus differently. Differently. The first is talking about a Pnuya. That's clear. But now a married woman. How would you describe a married woman? So when you look in Pasuk Zayin, that's step one, V'im hayo sihiye li'ish. Hayo sihiye li'ish. What exactly does that mean? Hayo sihiye. Oh, that's Chazal's Masara. That's step one. Havaya means erisin. 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 Ha'ish aniknis. Where do you see indeed that that's true? I'll fast forward a little bit. Kedushin daf hei amud aleph. Our Mishnah tells us you can makarish anisha ayyadei shtar. Ayyadei shtar. How do you know Kedushei Shtar? How do you know Kedushei Shtar? Oh, so the Gemara says very simply. The Torah tells us, no, the cost of La Sefer Krisus. A get. And what happens? A get is given, V'yatsa mibeisa, and V'holcha V'haisa li'shacher. V'yatsa mibeisa, gerishin, and V'haisa. Oh, V'haisa. I know what V'haisa means. No, Im hayosiyeh. That means erisin, erisin. Oh, so the Gemara says that Makish Havaya Yetziah. What is true of Yetziah, what is true of a get, is also true of Erisin. Erisin. Guess what? That's the source of Kedushei Shtar. Because whenever the Torah uses the terms Im Hayo Sihiyeh or Vahaisel Yishacher, that means Erisin. Erisin. Okay? So after Erisin, that's the mid-Parshan, Parshas Matos. The Schus Safara shifts. It's no longer exclusively that of the Av, but now it is a shutvis of the Av and the Baal. Okay? If that's step one, so now what about step two? That's Pasuk Yud Aleph. No? Im Beis Isha Nadara. That's critical. Beis Isha Nadara. In other words, up until now we have the Kinyan of Ishus. Im Hayosihiyeh. She's an Ishus Ish, but she's Beveis Aviha. She's Beveis Aviha. Where do you see that there's a shift? All of a sudden now, the Torah describes Ishus as being Beis Isha Nadara. That means that she is an Ishus Ish, who is Bebeis Habal. Bebeis Habal. Oh, so the Gemara says that is a reference to Nisuin. And that also is a shift midaraisa. Now the Schus Hafara is no longer joint, but now the Schus Hafara is exclusively that of the Baal. So when you look in that pasuk, it's clear, it's clear. There's a Kinyan of Ishus. And that is im hayosihiyeh, just as you find v'haisa li'ish acher. Oh, that's makish havaya li'etziah. That's referring to kedushei shtar, erisin, kedushin. But then there's a following step, which is nisuin, and that's described as beis isha nadara. Beis isha nadara. That's the concept of beiso zoishto. Beiso zoishto. And that is a reference to nisuin. That's exactly the sugya nedarim, the Mishnah daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. That's what you see from this particular parsha. So therefore, in terms of lamdas hagdara, that's critical. The kinyan of Yishus is erisin, but the nashus Yishu is bebeis habal. That is accomplished al yedei nisuin. And now you begin to understand the kinyan of Yishus. That's fixed. That's set. No, that's kesef shtarim bia. But at what point exactly does she become an Ashes Ishu is Bebeis Habal? That's not so clear. Could that be standing under the chuppah? Beis Habal. Maybe it's Badekin. Ooh, the Rambam Shita, Perikudah Filchasishus, Halachala Filachabes. That's Yichud. That's Yichud. When they seclude themselves together, that's considered to be already Beisuzu Ishto. But you understand the different possibilities in Rishonim because it's not so explicit in the Pasuk. When you cross the threshold, and now this is considered to be a knisa l'rishus. But that's the yisod, that's basis of ishto, that's a reference to nisuin. I wanted you to see that Gemara in Yuma and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara just assumes as a davar pashut. This is true when it comes to a Kohen Gadol. When a Kohen Gadol says vidui, he's not only being misvada from self personally, but he's being misvada on behalf of the bayis. No? V'chipra v'adol v'ad beiso. And the Gemara tells us, beiso zuishto. So guess what? Mufurish in the Gemara, without the entire beer, the Gemara just assumes as the Rapashut, that you know what that means? A Kohen Gadol has to be married. Kohen Gadol has to be married. But even beyond that, erisin is not enough. You require nisuin. If all that was done was erisin, guess what? That Kohen Gadol cannot perform the Avodas Yom Kippurim. How do you know that that's true? He's not single. He's married. The answer is, v'chiper vado vad beso. Beso zoishto is a reference to nisuin. So therefore, it's necessary that absolute nisuin, has to take place. Oh. The Gemara assumes that Dabra Pashut. You'll ask, mehecha teisi. The answer is, that's the definition of nisuin. Beso zoishto, and eishas ishu is, bebeis habao, im beis isha nadara. That's something which is indeed critical. You know, when you learn the very first Mishnah, Maseches Yuma, so how do we make sure that the Kohen Gadol is married? Maybe one possibility is Maskin Lo Yishra Acheres, no? But you know, if you assume that, how does the Mishnah conclude? Ein L'davar Sof, Ein L'davar Sof. You're going to be afraid that, you know, death may occur in Yom Kippur, so where do you draw the line? There are always theoretical possibilities. So what happens then, Mamish? If the wife of the Kohen Gadol dies, the wife of the Kohen Gadol dies on Yom Kippur, you know what the answer is? The Kohen Gadol will get married on Yom Kippur in order to go in to ensure that indeed the Avodah is done, because that's necessary. You know what that means? Not only Erisin, but even Nisuin. We'll jump ahead a little bit, just food for thought. You know what? The Nesivis writes, the Nesivis writes this in the Sefer Beis Yaakov, and Beis Amaral from Maseches Ksuvos. And Nesivos writes the following, the Shita Sarambam is Nisuin Eins, that the woman is Beis Habal. You know what Beis Habal is? Yichud Harayi Lebiya. Yichud Harayi Lebiya. You know what's so difficult with that? Because it's Mufurish, Bavli, Yerushalmi, that if the wife of the Kohen Gadol dies on Yom Kippur, Ishus is done on Yom Kippur. If all Ishus is Erisin, okay, you can have Erisin on Yom Kippur. But how can you have Yichud Harayi Lebiya on Yom Kippur? Now, that's the Nesivos' kasha against the Rambam. Because the Rambam Shita is Yichud Harayi Lebiya. The Rambam Shita is that the Inuim of Yom Kippur is Suri Daraisa, not only eating and drinking, Tashmi Shamita is an Issa Daraisa. So how is it possible to say the definition of Nisuin is Yichud Harayi Lebiya when it's Mefurish in Yerushalmi that the Kohen Gadol indeed will get married at that time? But that is the Rambam Shita. That's the definition of Nisuin. And Eishas Ish Bebeis Habal. Beis Habal is defined by Yichud Harayi Lebiya. And that is the Kped of the Rambam. That's why you can't have a Chupas Nida. That's that Rambam. Perek Yud Halach Aleph and Halach Habez. Because you need Nisuin. And Nisuin is Yichud Harayi Lebiya. And that's not true with Ishta Nida. No, that's the Chiddush, the great Chiddush of the Rambam Shita. That you can't have such a case of a chupas nida, something which is stunning. You know, that Mishnah I referred to, Ksuvos Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says the following. The Baal did Erisin, and he's dragging his feet. A year passes, and he didn't do Nisuin. So you know what? The Chacham will tell him the following. You know what? If you don't go ahead and go through with Nisuin, we're going to impose chiyuvim, Shibudim, Higiyaz Hazman V'loniseis, Ocheles Mishalo, Ocheles Petruma. We're going to insist you have to go ahead and support your wife. And you know what? The Baal responds. I'll tell you why I'm not doing Nisuin right now. Not because I'm not desirous of it, but Nida. She's a Nida. Oh, Nida. See what the Chachamim are going to say? Okay, I understand. Let's wait a week. Let's wait a couple weeks. Why is that true? So this is a really heavy machlokes. You know what the Rambam writes? It's Mefurish in Gemara. That you can't have Nisuin. How can I fault the Baal for not doing Nisuin when the definition of Nisuin is Beso, Knisa the Rishus? That means Yichar Harai Labia, and that's impossible. That's impossible, because she is a Nida. And you know what the Ran writes in the very first daf, Maseches Ksuvos? The Gemara doesn't mean it's impossible. The Gemara just simply means that that's a good excuse. It's not desirable. We try to avoid, even if it's possible, a Chupas Nida. So if the Baal says that I'm not dragging my feet, but right now this is the window of time, that's excusable. That's understandable. That's a really heavy machlokas, the Rambam and the Ran. When the Gemara says in Ksuvos Daf Beis that we're not kones the Baal, if that's the circumstance, is it because the Rambam writes because lahalacha nisuin is impossible? Or is it because that no, it's understandable, and therefore why would we give a knas to the Baal if he's doing something which is reasonable? But that in fact is the Rambam Shita. You know where else you see this is true? So I wanted you to see a Rashi in Kedushin Daf Yud Mabez. Rashi is bothered by the following. A wife of a Kohen is allowed to partake of certain matnos kahuna. Certain matnos kahuna. Right, that we'll have to discuss as this parak continues. When? What? But certain matnos kahuna, an Ashes Kohen is allowed to partake of. How do you know that this is true? That an Ashes Kohen has a schus in certain matnos kahuna. So Rashi points out the following. No, Yirma Beis. Rashi writes, there are two parshios in Chumash. Parshas Emor, Vikra Chav Beis, and Parshas Korach, Rashi writes, Bimidbar Yudches. What does the Torah say in Parshas Emor? Kinyan Kaspo. One who is Kinuya Le Kohen is allowed to partake of certain Matnos Kahuna. What does the Torah tell us in Parshas Korach? Kol Tahar Beveischa. No, that's Bemidbar Yurches. So Rashi writes, why is it that in Parshas Emor the Torah uses the term of Kinyan Kaspa? And why is it in Parshas Korach the Torah uses the term of Kol Tahar Beveischa? So you know what Rashi answers? Yeah, it pops, no? Because Parshas Emor is referring to Erisin. In Parshas Korach is referring to Nisuin, Mefurish in Rashi. If the Torah speaks about Kinyan Kaspo, what is Kinyan Kaspo? Kinyan Kaspo is Kedushin Daf Beis. No? Nisha's Niknes Bekesev. That's Erisin. Parshas Korach, when it says Kotahar Beveischa, Beisu Zoishto, that's not a reference to Erisin. That's a reference to Nisuin. Rashi's Mefurish, no? But realize that Rashi, sometimes you agree very quickly, that's a Hagdara. The Kinyan of Yishus is Erisin. But an Eishus Ish, Bebeis Habal, that already is considered to be that which is Nisuin. Nafkamina Daraisa, when it comes to Afaris Nadarim, Nafkamina Daraisa, when it comes to the case of Kohen Gadol, and here Rashi says that's true when it comes to the case of Matnas Kahuna. And I'll tell you, I put in parentheses, no? In Or Sameach, in Hilchos Trumos, Paragvav Halacha Gimel. Or Sameach writes that, you know what? This is the sheet of Yerushalmi, and he writes a stunning chiddush. What's the theme of Parshas Emor? What is Parshas Emor referring to? You know what the answer is? Achivas Truma. Truma. When you look in Parshas Korach, what is Parshas Korach referring to? It's not referring just to Truma, it's referring to Matnos Kahuna. Shar Matnas Kahuna. Zro Lechayayim Vakeva Matnas Kahuna. So you know what the sheet of the Yerushalmi is? Pretty stunning. You know, when we're going to see the Sugya, you know what the Lashon HaGemara is? Arusa Bas Yisrael Ocheles Betruma. Arusa Bas Yisrael Ocheles Betruma. What do you mean Ocheles Betruma? Why not say Arusa Bas Yisrael Ocheles Bematnos Kahuna? Why does the Gemara say Arusa Bas Yisrael Ocheles Betruma? You know what the Yerushalmi spells out? That, Parshas Emor is referring to Achilas Truma. Parshas Korach is referring to Sharmatnas Kehuna. Parshas Emor allows the Ashes Kohen to eat Truma because of Kinyan Kaspo. Parshas Korach allows a woman to partake of Matnas Kehuna because of Kol Tohar Beveisra. So I'll tell you a Chiddush. Wow, Din Daraisa. That after Erisin, only Truma. Only Truma, but not Sharmatanos. Sharmatanos. Wow. Rav Sameach writes, that indeed is the Shita of the Yerushalmi. So this is all just simply the Bir HaKra. The Torah can describe Ishus in many different ways. When the Torah refers to the Kinyan of Ishus, that's a reference to Erisin. When the Torah refers to the Bayis, the Beis Habal, that's a reference indeed to Nisuin. Yeah, it's a fascinating possibility. An Arusa can eat Truma, and an Asua can eat Truma. You know, something we'll have to discuss when we join the Sugya, is there any difference between the woman eating Truma as an Arusa or a woman eating Truma as an Asua? Maybe no. You know what? It begins at Erisin. So Erisin and whatever that follows. Or could one argue that, no, there really is a fundamental difference. There really is a fundamental difference. And I'll tell you the following chakira, just to jump ahead. You know what? When a Kohen eats Truma, guess what? That's a mitzvah, no? That's a mitzvah that the Kohen eats Truma. The Rambam includes that in the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim. The Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Trumas, Praktezvav, Halacha Chav Beis, that when the Kohen eats Truma, he makes a birchas ha-mitzvah on Achilas Truma. When a Kohen goes ahead and eats Truma, that's a mitzvah sachila. A mitzvah sachila. Wow. Let me ask you the following. There's a certain type of Truma that, you know what, this is like animal fodder, right? This is machal behema, animal fodder. So the Kohen will take that Truma. You know what he'll do with it? He'll give it to his animal. The animal of the Kohen eats Truma. Is that a mitzvah sachila? A mitzvah sachila? You would probably tell me, not really. That's a heter achila, no? You know, truma has kedusha. I can't be mechalo the kedusha satruma. Maybe one would think, but giving this to the animal, that's a bizayon, that's being mechalo the kedusha satruma. You know what the answer is? If this is machal behema, and it has a kedusha satruma, so therefore, yes, that's appropriate. You're not being mechalo the kedusha satruma. Right? That I give the truma to my animal. I don't expect the animal to walk away with a smile and a kavana and a hislavus and a brachana. It's not a mitzvah sachil. It's a heter achil. No? So be careful when you repeat this. No? When the eishes kohen eats truma. No? Is that a mitzvah sachil? Or is that a heter achil? Heter achil. No? A mitzvah sachil or heter achil? That is interesting. No? That is a chakir of Menachem Zemba, the Zer Avram Simenches. Simenches and Sivkat and Gimel raises that issue. When an Eishes Kohen eats Truma, that's like a Kedusha. Like she has a Kedusha as Kohen. She has a Kedusha of Kohen. Like an Ishto Kegufo. Or that's a Heter, that's an allowance. And one can understand the following possibilities. So that's all the interesting Chiddush that maybe you can think about. No? Maybe there could be a difference between Erisin as opposed to Nisuin. In the sense that Lachar Erisin, that is Kinyan Kaspo. That's a question of Kinyan Kaspo. It's not a Kinyan of Mammon, we'll see. But Haisha Niknis. But when you're talking about Nisuin, there the Torah describes the Ishus in a very different way. A concept of an Ishto Kegufo. And maybe one could argue, a fascinating possibility that, you know what, that even when it comes to the fact that an Eishes Kohen can partake in Matnas Kehuna, maybe there is an essential difference between whether she does so after Erisin or whether she does so after Nisuin. Not only a difference in terms of, let's say, that Or Sameach, whether it applies only to some other cases, but even within the category of Truma, there's a fundamental difference. The concepts that you have that sometimes we assume, ishto kegufo, or the opposite is true, that maybe if she has a certain kedusha, that can expand to the Baal. All of that is after. We'll see the Sugyat Aches. That's after Nisuin, not after cases of Erisin. So this is very important simply in terms of the definition, the Hagdara, and Eishas Ish, as opposed to Eishas Ish, is considered to be that which is Bebeis Habal. Okay? And the Mainaf Kamina, what are differences between Erisin and Nisuin? So we mentioned, yes, when it comes to Schusafara, certainly is a difference. That's clear. Maybe when it comes to Matnas Kohuna, there's a difference. When it comes to mitzvah as opposed to heter, a difference in a chinami, that certainly is true. Kohen Gadol, an afkamina as well. But there are more basic differences as well. Not merely these somewhat less usual cases. When you look in the Sugya and Ksuvas and Daf Nun Gimel, the Gemara raises just a very, very basic question. Right? But you know what? You have Erisin. How does that affect the following halachos? There, the Braisa tells us the following, the Tanina, Isha, Arusa, if all you had was Erisin, but not Nisuin, Lo Onein, and Velo Metamela. Lo Onein, Velo Metamela. If all there was Erisin, and let's say, she goes ahead and dies now, Lo Onein, he doesn't have the dinim of Aninus, and Velo Mitamala, and he is not Mitame Lemes. That's a Braisa. Ishto Arusa Lo Onein Velo Mitamala. And the Braisa continues and says the flip side is true. The same thing is true regarding her. If all there is Erisin, and the husband dies, Lo Onenes, the Dine Aninus did not apply to her, and Velo Metamelo, and she is not Metame for him. So what exactly is that a reference? Is that a reference to? So you know what? When it comes, for example, to, let's start, Aninus, Rachman Litzlan. Now, a person goes ahead and loses a close relative. So the relative is Nifter. They're in the state of Aninus. And what exactly are the Dine Aninus? You know, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisavah that when you engage in vidui maaser, you make a declaration that, you know what, I treated it properly. Asisi kochol asher tzivisani. I fulfilled the mitzvah Hashem. And one of the details, that I had maaser sheni, but lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. I didn't go ahead and eat it ba'aninus. Oh, so you know what you see? That if that's part of the vidui maaser, that means that, you know what, if a person is an aninus, he's not allowed to eat maaser sheni. He's not allowed to partake of bikurim. He's not allowed to partake of kodshim. When a person is in a state of aninus, no kodshim, no achilas maaser sheni, no bikurim. If a kohen is in a state of aninus, he's not allowed to do avoda. He cannot do avoda. Oh, that's uniquely true. No, Parsha Semo, when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen cannot perform Avoda Ba'aninus, and if he does so, the Avoda is Psula. He cannot partake of Kodshim. He cannot go ahead and do Avoda. The Mishnah that you know, in the beginning of the third parak of Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav. You know what? If a person is in that state of Aninus, or at least similar to Aninus, Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav before the Kvura, guess what? Exempt from Mitzvah Saseh, and there's an Isser, the Gemara says, of Basar V'yayin. Those are the dinim of Aninus Mishameis and Mutlafanov. Cannot partake of Kodshim, cannot perform Avoda, cannot perform Mitzvahs, Asar B'basar, Asar V'yayin. Oh, so that's the Chiddush of the Braisa. So Rachman L'san, a parent dies, you're in the state of Aninus. What happens if a person's wife is Nifteres? That's the Chiddush of the Brais and Ksuvas and Daf Nun Gimel. It depends. Erisin as opposed to Nisuin. If it is La'achar Erisin alone, all you had is the Kinyan of Ishus in and of itself, so that's exactly the Chiddush that does not posit the Dine aninus, that does not create the din aninus. And similarly, lo mitamala. What exactly does that mean, that lo mitamala? So Pashup Shat as follows. You look in the very beginning of Parshas Emor, in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, the Torah tells us the following, what we just discussed, now that you have a Kohen, right? He cannot casually be metamei the mace, but he is metamei the krovim. That is not true if it was just erisin. If all there is erisin, and the wife is nifteres, so in such a case, he doesn't have the dini aninus, and he is not allowed to go into metamei the mace. How do you know that that's true? Oh, here also very important. Because when the Torah describes the allowance of a kohen to metame, the Torah says, ki im l'she'ero ha'karov elav. L'she'ero ha'karov elav. That's erisin. That's a reference to erisin. You know what she'ero means? It's similar to beso in that sense. No, she'ero means, the Rashbam and Baba Basra, and Av Kuftes quotes, v'hoyu l'basar echad. She'ero means, Vahayu lebasar echad. Or when it comes, for example, to the shibudim of Yishus, she'ero ksusa v'nasa lo yigra. She'er means an intimate relationship. She'ero is only a reference to nisuin. It's not a reference to erisin. And therefore, that would not be the case. So therefore, if the Baal is a Kohen, and all there is erisin, and she is nifteres, so in such a case, that's exactly the sugya, Ksuvas and Dafnan Gimel, that he is not allowed to go ahead and do Matami Lameis. And if she's an Asua, then yes, then you know what? La Yitama means he's obligated to do so. Wow, he's obligated to do so. So if it's Ishto Arusa, it's an Issa Daraisa. And if she's Ishto Nesua, then it's a Chiv Daraisa. La Yitama is a mitzvah. So the Daf Gimel is a mitzvah. Yikotze l'katze. It's an Issa Daraisa after Erisin, and it's a mitzvah Daraisa. La'achar Nesuin. Wow. And you know what? And that Braisa continues and says the following. And the same is true if he is Nifter. What exactly does that mean? If all there was Erisin, then no. And if there is Nisuin, then yes. No? What does that mean exactly? The same is true on the flip side. There was Erisin, Nisuin, and the Baal now is Nifter. So what happens? Oh, the same is true. That Ishto Arusa, Lo Mitamalo. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi writes in Ksuvas, a little bit different, no? I understand. He's a Kohen, and he's not allowed to be Metame in the Mace. So if all there was Erisin, so in such a case, it's an Issa Daraisa for Metame in the Mace. And what's the second after Braisa? And if it's Ish Darusa and he is Niftar, Lo Metame Lo, meaning she is, is Rashi's bothered. She's not allowed to be Metame in the Mace. Not allowed. Why is she not allowed to be Metame in the Mace? There's an Isser. A Kohen cannot be Metame in the Mace. There's no Isser for even a Kohenist to be Metame in the Mace. So what's the flip side of the Braisa? When the Braisa says the following in that particular case, that Lo Metame Lo. Oh, you know what Rashi writes, understandably. That you know what it means? Eina Chayeves. The Tamilo. She's not obligated to. Whoa, that was a shift, no? If she dies, the husband is not allowed to metam the mace. And if he dies, the wife is not obligated to do so. You see what's bothering Rashi, no? No, because you can't really parallel exactly. The husband who's a kohen is not allowed to. The wife who is not, she doesn't have a kedushas kohen, so she is not allowed to. She's not obligated to. Oh, but that's a chiddush then. And if it would be a nesua, If it's a nesua, she's obligated to. Well, that's also chiddush, no? She's obligated to. Wow. So again, when it comes to a case of a kohen whose wife dies, if it's lachar erisin, he's absolutely not allowed to. If it's lachar nesuin, he must. Good? And now what's the flip side? And if he is the one who dies, so if it's after erisin, she does not have to. She can. Mustama, she would. She'll attend the funeral, no? But she doesn't have to. But if it's after nisuin, she must. Chayeves letamalo. Chayeves letamalo. Wow. You know what you see according to Rashi, an important chiddush? That when the Torah in Parshas Emor tells us that there's a mitzvah to be metame lekrovim, it's not only referring to kohanim. No? You see that? No? It's even referring to kohanim. There's a mitzvah to be metame lekrovim. So if you're Yisrael, of course that's true. If you're a Kohen, maybe I could have thought, no, because I'm a Kohen, I'm not from Tam and the Mace. So you know what the Chiddush of Parshas Emor is? Even the Kohen is Matami the Mace. If this is not a Kohen, of course you're Matami the Mace. But even a Kohen where otherwise it's an Isser, even a Kohen indeed is Matami the Mace. No? You see the Chiddush of Rashi? Rashi is bothered by the second half of the Braisa. Ishto arusa lo metamelo, it means in a chayeves letamelo. And that would imply if it's ishto nesuna, chayeves letamelo. But those are chedushim. Those are chedushim. And you see, and Rashi understands that, you know, there is a bit of a shift. You know, there is a Rashi elsewhere. There's a Rashi in Yevamos, Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis. You know what Rashi writes? What does it mean that if the husband dies, the woman is not metame, if it's only after erisin? Rashi writes one line, a chiddush, v'li nire kegon beregel. Ooh, that's what Rashi writes, Yivamos Daf Chav Tes. If it's a yantif, chayev adon letaras atzmo b'yaregel. A person has to maintain a status of tara. So, and what happens, rachman letzlan, if a relative dies? If it was just erisin, she is not allowed to be metame lemeis. Rashi says, kagon beregel. No, pashav shat, it's not referring to yantif. It's referring to a typical situation. And therefore, Rashi writes the chiddush, in a chayeves letame lo. And if it's isha nesua, chayeves letame lo. No, you get that nuance, no? Remember last year from Sachim? No? Daf Dalet, Daf Yud Aleph. No. Rabbi Yehuda says in Erev Pesach, when the clock strikes 10 in the morning, tolin. What does tolin mean? Sachem Daf Dalet, Sachem Daf Yud Aleph. What does tolin mean? You can't do this. No? You have truma. It's a suffix whether it's truma tahora. The suffix truma tameh. You know what the halach is? Tolin. You know what tolin means? You can't eat it because maybe it's truma tameh, but you can't burn it because maybe it's truma tahora. You know what tolin usually means? You're stuck. No? You can't do this, you can't do that. You're literally suspended. Don't do this. Rashi's bothered. The clock strikes 10, right? 10 in the morning, Erev Pesach. Tolin. What does tolin mean? You can't eat chametz. I understand. You can't eat chametz because it's zman achila. It begins at 10 in the morning. So, and lo sorfin, you can't burn. Why can't you burn? Why can't you burn? Oh, so you know what Rashi writes? It's like this Rashi, no? You know what lo ochem lo sorfin means? Lo ochlin means you're not allowed to eat. And losarfin means that inot sarich lisrov. You don't have to burn. No? that's how Rashi interprets, no? That you're not allowed to eat, and the zman bior hasn't yet arrived, so you can sit back and do nothing. You don't have to burn. That's how Rashi explains this case as well, no? If you're talking about the kohen, he's not allowed to metam the mace. If you're talking about the ishes kohen, she does not have to be metame lemeis. No? Enot sarich. And remember, that was a piece of the Brisker Rav, that Rambam, Perakalafos Chomitza Matzah. No, tolin means You can't do this and you can't do that. So you know what the Rambam says? You know what the case in the Gemara is? We're talking about chametz like lachmei toda or truma that has a kedusha. So if it's 10 in the morning, the chamer machmer that you cannot eat, but since the Zman Isser technically did not fully arrive, you're not allowed to burn. You're not allowed to burn. Well, because that's how the Rambam understood. You can't do this and you can't do this. You can't do this and you can't do this. No? Rashi says sometimes you can't does not mean you're not allowed to. It means you don't have to. Oh, that's what Rashi writes when it comes to an Arusa. That's what Rashi says when it comes to the case in the Chametz as well. No? So again, when it comes to an Isha Arusa, so Loma Tamala means that in a chayevis. There's no chiyuv to go ahead and do so. But Ishto Nesua, wow, there is a chiyuv. There really is a chiyuv. There's a mitzvah that you have to do so. Rashi says, yes. Krovim are to be metame lemeis. Either Torah mentions, no, a kohen is metame lemeis. A kohen is metame lemeis. You know what the answer is? Pashup shat. Even the kohen. You know why this is such a chiddush? We emphasize it? Because that's mafurish against the Rambam. The Rambam writes like a very stunning chiddush. The Rambam writes, you know, you look at Parshas Emor, and Parshas Emor tells us that, you know what? If you're a Kohen, and a relative dies, you're obligated to be Matami the Mace. You're obligated to be Matami the Mace. Lahi Tama. You must do so. Sotad Av Gimel, Rabbi Akiva, you must do so. And let's assume you're not a Kohen. Let's assume you're not a Kohen. And a relative dies. So you know what the Rambam writes? Take a look at Chasavo, Perak Beis, Halacha Vav. You know what the Rambam writes? That if you're not a Kohen and a relative dies, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. That's unusual, no? The Rambam writes, take a look in Parshas Emor. The Pasuk says, Lo Yitama, there's a mitzvah saseh for a Kohen to Metami Lekrovim. Then the Rambam writes the Chiddush, he must do so. And if the Kohen says, I refuse, I'm so frum, I'm not going to do so, Metami no sobal karcho. You're Metami the Kohen. Then the Rambam writes, Bamed v'ram amurim. When is that true? That we insist that the Avel has to become Tame? The Rambam writes, Bizacharim. That's only true when it comes to a Kohen. Shehuzral alatuma. But if you're dealing with a Kohenes, Enum Mitzuva, the Tame the Krovim. That's such a Chiddush, no? You know, it's basic Pshat and Pasuk, no? When the Torah says in the beginning of Parshas Emor, a Kohen is Matam in the Mace, does it mean only a Kohen? Or does it mean even a Kohen? Even a Kohen. Maybe Pashem Shat means even the Kohen, no? A Yisrael, of course. That's part of Avelus. You're Matam in the Mace. A Kohen, you know, I'm not sure, because a Kohen can't do this normally. Oh, the answer is even a Kohen. Even a Kohen. That's what Rashi said, no? After Erisin, she's not obligated to do so, but after Nisuin, she must. Chayeves l'tamelo. The Rambam writes the opposite. No? The Rambam writes that the only mitzvah to be metame machmas ha'avelos is bizacharim, only when it comes to a Kohen. But not when it comes to a Yisrael. Not even when it comes to a Kohenes. Wow. And guess who screams? The Ravid, no, that's Sagas the Ravid. Like, really? Really? The Kohen is Matami the Mace? And no one else is? The Ravid said, what do you mean? That, how can that be? And you know what the Ravid quotes? Exactly, Ksuvas and Gimel. That an Arusa does not have to be Matami the Mace. But a Nesua must be Matami the Mace, no? Ha Nesua. Tamos alone, no? When it comes to Nesuv Kor, like Rashi. It's such an unusual machlokas, no? It's clear that, wow, that there's a difference between Eris and Nesuv when it comes to being Metame yourself, Lemes. What exactly is the difference? So it's pretty unbelievable, no? That Rashi writes, the difference is, if you're an Arusa, there's no Chiyuv, but if you're Nesua, there absolutely is a Chiyuv. And the Rambam writes, that's wrong. There is no Chiyuv when it comes to a Nesua. The only time there is a Chiyuv is for the Kohen. So the Nafkamina is for the Kohen. For the Kohen. Is a Kohen mitam in the mace? If he loses his wife, you know what the answer is? After Erisin, absolutely not. After Nisuin, absolutely yes. There's a Chiyuv on the Kohen. But there is no Chiyuv when it comes to a non-Kohen. Realize that's something which is stunning. You know, that begs the question, like, why in the world, no? Like, only the Kohen and no one else. Only the Kohen and no one else. Why is that true? And Rav Soloveitchik used to tell us, just look at how the way the Rambam begins that halacha. Look at how the Rambam begins the halacha, no? The Rambam writes the following. The kama chamura mitzvah saveilus. Kama chamura mitzvah saveilus. You know what the Torah is telling us? Aveilus is something which is so chamur. You have to take Avelus so seriously. Sharei nidchas lo hatuma mibekrova. A Kohen who has a Kedusha, he's mechalal his Kedusha as a result of Avelus. You know what Poshav Shat the Kiddush of the Rambam is? It's not an allowance for the Kohen to mechal his Kedusha. You know what? It's a chiyuv. Lo yitama. You know what that means? The chilul kedushas kohuna is a kiyum of the avelus. It's a kiyum of the avelus. The Torah insists that you have to demonstrate how chamor avelus is. How do you demonstrate how chamor avelus is? I know this person. He's a kohen. He's so careful. He doesn't drive in this highway. He doesn't drive on the street. He's so careful about tumas ohel. And all of a sudden, I see him in a beis hakvaros. You know what that means? Kama chamura mitzvah saveilos, that the Kohen is mechalel his Kedusha. Mechalel his Kedusha. That's only true when it comes to a Kohen. A person who lacks that Kedusha, who, for whatever casual reason, can become Tami Lemes, his becoming Tami Lemes is not at all a Kiyum of Avelus, of Chilul Kedusha. So that's how the Rambam begins. Kama chamura mitzvah saveilus. Rav Soloveitchik tied this in with what we mentioned too in the previous year. No. That's why the Rambam Shita is like stunning, that even though it's black and white Nechumash, and black and white Nechumash usually means we discuss, no? That's not called Dechuya. That's like built in, no? The Rambam writes that Tumas Koinim and Avelus for Krovim is only Dechuya. It's only Dechuya. It's an act of Chilul Kedushas Kehuna, Kama Chamura, Mitzvah Avelus. The fact that the coin is Metame Lemeis, that is a Kiyum of Avelus. I'll tell you, it's not so surprising. When you look in Sefer HaMitzvahs, in Mitzvah Lamed Zayin, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Lamed Zayin is the mitzvah of Avelus. And included in that mitzvah Lamed Zayin, is La Yitama, that the coin is Metame Lekrovim. It's one mitzvah. Avelus and the fact that the coin is Metame Lemeis. That's something which is pretty striking. Now, I just emphasize this again. This is an Afkamina Daraisa. An Afkamina Daraisa between Erisin and Yisuin. That's Mefurish, that's Ksuvas and Gimel. Yeah, but what the Nafkamina is, that's a very fundamental machlokas, the Rambam and Rashi. The Rambam writes the Nafkamina is when it comes to the Kohen, that the Kohen is not allowed midaraisa in the Tame for an Arusa, and for Nesua the Kohen must, Leitam as a Chiyuv. And Rashi writes there's a Nafkamina when it comes to the woman as well. But when it comes to an Arusa, she's not bound, but she can be Metame for her husband after Erisin. But if it's after Nisuin, she must. Oh, that's a Machlokas, Rambam Raivit. No, that's pretty heavy. So a Machlokas Daraisa between Erisin and Nisuin, when it comes to cases of tuma. And why do you see that this is true? Because when the Torah describes the fact that one is metame at the death of a spouse, the Torah describes it ki im l'sheiro hakaravelav. Sheiro hakaravelav is not a reference to erisin. Sheiro hakarav is a reference to nisuin, a reference to nisuin. So I understand. So nafkamina is ksuvas nun gimel. Letamala, tuma is a nafkamina with these important details. Lahafer nidareha, that's the other nafkamina of the Braisa. And the Braisa mentions a nafkamina as well. Yerusha. Is a bal yoreshes ishta. So yeah, the Mishnah, Baba Basra, Dav Kuvches, yes. The Baal, Ha'ish Yoresh Yisishta. Ha'ish Yoresh Yisishta. Ha'mishnah Mufareshes. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Kiva, Din Daraisa. That a Baal is Yoresh Yisishta. Yoresh Yisishta. Where indeed do you see that this is true? Yerusha Sabal. Yerusha Sabal. Well, what do you mean? Take a look in the Parsha of Yerusha. No? The Torah tells us, "Venasatas nachlasa l'she'ero hakarov elav, l'she'ero hakarov elav." So he used the term she'ero. So guess what? That's a reference. That's a reference to Ishus, that the Baal is Yoreshes Ishto. But guess what? If it's a reference to Ishus, you know what? That also is going to be Nisuin, not erisin. She'ero zuishto is erisin. Erisin is only kinyan kaspo, isha niknis. Erisin is im hayosiye, the reality of being an ashes ish. But when you speak about beso, she'ero, these are dinim daraisa, that is a function of nisuin. And therefore, these are the nafkaminas. It's important hagdaros. And the shibudim of Ishus, a husband is obligated to share ksus and ona, shera ksusav onosa, lo yigra. You know what? Nisuin. The shibudim of Ishus, the zchus of hafaras nedarim, zchus Yerusha, when it comes to Tumas Kohanim, right? All of that is dependent on Anisuin. So I'll tell you, that's fundamental. That's the Hagdar of Erisin as opposed to Nisuin. And those are the Nafkaminas. There's a difference when it comes to an Eishes Ishes Insa. No? When the Torah speaks about a typical Eishes Ishes Insa, the Onish is one of Chenek. If you're dealing with a Naira Hamorasa, there, the onish is one of skila. And I'll tell you, this is kind of a bekias, but there's a Tosas Harash. This Tosas Harash is found in Yevamos and Daf Lamed Aled. The Tosas Harash writes a chiddush that when it comes to Nara Morasa, there's a chi of skila, but there's no chi of chatas b'shogeg. That's only true when it comes to typical Eishes Ish, not when it comes to unusual. Anara Marasa, those are the nafkaminas between Eris and Isa. In Lamdas, in Eishes Ishu as Bebe Saval, Beso She'ero, it means a closeness, a kurva, an intimacy. And those are the nafkaminas between Eris and Isa. Haisha Niknis means step one, right? That's where you have the kinyan of Ishus. And then the broader Hagdar that kicks in at the time of Nisuin. And then we'll have to discuss again. So, very practically speaking, a Mishnah Pureshes, what is Erisin? Erisin is clear. Keser Shtarubia, what exactly is Nisuin? But you understand why that's more nebulous, why that's more vague. You're not dealing with the Maisa Kinyan. You're dealing with She'ero. You're dealing with Beso. So, at what point indeed is Is that true? At what point is it considered to be an absolute Kenisa Lirishas? One of the fundamental differences we'll have to discuss, this will run through the entire parak, is the role of Edim and the role of Das. Is there a difference in terms of Edim? Is there any difference in terms of Das between Erisin and Nisuin? We know when it comes to Ishus in general, we have a principle of Ein Davar Sheba'erva Pachos Mishnayim. So you can get in that base. What is the role of Edim? And what is the need of Edim when it comes to cases of Ishus? And here we'll see like a fundamental difference. This is already a Chiddush of Reb Chaim when it comes to Eidus Tekim Adavar. Eidus Tekim Adavar. Differences between Erisin as opposed to Nisuin. The Kinyan of Ishus as a result of the reality of the fact that now the woman is considered to be an Eishes Ish Beveisaba. So it's just simply in terms of Hagdama, the different Hagdaros of Ishus, the Nafkaminas, right, in terms of the Sugya Sashas, and then we'll have to see practically speaking what exactly is the timing of Nisuin.